Jesus is buried. When evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. For roughly 800 years, crucifixion was the execution method of choice in the ancient world. The Persians invented it, Alexander the Great spread it, and the Romans ultimately perfected it into what became the most brutal and inhumane form of capital punishment ever practiced. And over the course of those 800 years, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people, men and women, even children, criminals, slaves, traitors, were crucified. There were even many innocent people crucified over those 800 years. Alexander the Great was once reported to have crucified one of the doctors in his camp simply because he wasn't able to heal one of his good friends. And I mention this because it's easy for us as modern people to read an account like this and to really be shocked by the brutality of it, about the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. The scourging, the mocking, the public and horrific death. But for ancient people, this was not particularly unusual. In fact, Jesus was just one of three crucifixions that morning that the Romans had decided to carry out. He was just the next victim of living under an oppressive government. And so the question for us is, if this is such a regular occurrence, why, 2,000 years later, do we have a worship service to remember it? What makes it any different than the tens of thousands of other crucifixions that took place over centuries? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is found in the Christian claim that Jesus of Nazareth was not merely a man, but was God. Not a God who appeared to be human, not a man who had an unusual connection to God, but God in the flesh, the creator of the world made visible in a human nature. And so the question that really faces us tonight is, why would God be on a cross? God, who has no need of anything, who has spent all of eternity in bliss, why would he subject himself to this kind of a death on a cross? Well, first, God was on a cross because the human race was in debt. You see, we were created to live in communion with God, but by turning away from him, we incurred a debt, the Bible says. And just like the financial debts that we incur in our everyday lives, this debt doesn't just go away. It has to be paid by someone. Even if you may not be convinced of the truth of Christianity, there are subtle things that you may say or that we tend to say in our culture that recognize this reality. You may say things like, I owe it to myself, or I owe it to my parents, or I owe it to my community. We speak of a criminal's debt to society. We recognize that when there's been a rupture in relationship, there is a debt that must be paid, and we sense that. You may not experience that as a sense of being under debt, but you may call it something different. You may call it drive or duty or ambition. But at the end of the day, we all know that no matter how exemplary a life we live, at the end of the day, there's an unpaid balance. Something more we could have done, some way in which we've fallen short of the ideal that we know that we were made to fulfill. So God was on a cross because humanity is in debt. But also, God was on a cross because we don't have the ability to cover that debt. The natural response to the sense that our lives are missing something is, of course, to work really hard in order to have something to show and to pay for that debt at the end of the day. Sometimes this may take on a religious form, working hard to obey God and live a devoted life, but it doesn't necessarily have to be religious. Maybe you work hard to pay off that debt through philanthropy or being a good citizen, being open-minded or accepting of other people to cover up the intolerance that is in your background or is in your ancestors' background or is in our country's background. But the truth is, no matter how much we are able to store up through those efforts, we simply do not have enough to cover it. It'd be like trying to pay off the national debt, making minimum wage. You can work as hard as you can and throw all of your money at it, but then you look up at the end of the day and it's only gotten bigger. So the God was on a cross because humanity was in debt and we're underwater. We can't pay it. But that still doesn't tell us why God would be on a cross. Was he on a cross simply to show us how to get out of debt? Live a life like Jesus. Die for your friends like Jesus, and you can get out of debt yourself. No. In order to answer that question, we need to listen to the Apostle Paul, who tells us in one of his letters why God would be on a cross. After he describes this plight of humanity that we've been talking about, he says the following. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Did you hear how he describes God? Rich in mercy. You see, only God is rich enough to cover our debts. Only God is rich enough to make a payment that would retire our debts forever. Only God has the resources that are required to erase the mountain of charges that are stacked up against us. You see, he knows we can't pay it. He knows that we don't have the resources. He knows that at any moment he could call all of us to account and demand payment for the debt that we owe. But instead of doing that, he says, I'll pay the debt. Because I alone have what it takes to retire them. And he paid. Not with perishable things like silver or gold or money, but with the precious blood of Christ, his only Son, who is God in the flesh. We just read that there were some on that day who passed by the cross. And as they passed by, they made comments to Jesus, but the way that they're described means that they were just on their way from one place to another. They saw it, and they missed it. To them, it was just another crucifixion on a hill outside of Jerusalem. Friends, do not make that same mistake. Do not make the same mistake of walking by and missing the moment when God became flesh and paid for the debt of sinners on the cross. Look and see on this wondrous cross, God in the flesh, paying our debts and reconciling us to God. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ that is free and that is full enough to retire the debts that we know that we can't pay. Help us, Father, to trust in him, to receive and rest upon this gift that is ours because you've given him freely to us. May we find joy and satisfaction and even humility as we survey this wondrous cross and see the one in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell and who has made peace by the blood of his cross. Amen.